You're listening to the Discover You Life podcast. Through conversations with pretty cool Muslims, people of Dua, of Ihsan, people who found a way to walk their dreams with Islamic excellence, we take you on a path of discovery. This is the podcast where you discover you.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring of My Heart online Quran retreat. Join Dalia Mujahid and Razia Hamidi and experience the solace of Quran whilst finding your strategy for facing life challenges. In just one day, you'll uncover the steps to building resilience through Allah's guidance and begin to thrive all year round. Find out more at adwam.com, that's adwam.com/retreat.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wasalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man walah, amma ba'd. Alright, so today we are talking about, the dua that became Quran is the dua. We're talking about the fear of public speaking. It's the story of Musa alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to, you know, when he had that, when he found the fire, he walked to the fire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. After the speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salam, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. So Musa was commanded to go to Fir'aun and stand there. Now Musa had, understand, he had run away from Fir'aun. He had run away from, you know, the transgressive people, and they were seeking him out and they wanted him dead. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa to go back. So it's interesting, when we're talking about fear of public speaking, you know, they have this poll, it's very famous, where they say, what's the thing you fear most in life? And number two was death. And number one was public speaking. So in other words, they say if there's like a funeral or a janazah and somebody's giving a speech, people are more happy to be the one in the grave than the person giving the speech. That's what it means. So this fear of public speaking is intense. Undoubtedly. Now we look at how intense in the story of Musa with Fir'aun, they were seeking him out to kill him. So they had a death warrant on Musa. And this is Fir'aun who killed babies. If a woman had a baby, he would kill them. He would kill them all. He wanted to kill Musa when he showed up on the river of his home. So that's the type of person. And his junud, his army, the army of Fir'aun and their tyranny. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa to go back to these people that have a death warrant on you and they're tyrants and they've enslaved Bani Israel and all of that, and tell them to release Bani Israel and call them to Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send signs with him. Okay, so that's the type of intensity. And so Musa alayhi salam, his response wasn't arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasn't cowering down, like, no, I can't do that. But rather, he made dua for the task at hand. And the first thing he makes dua for is, and this dua is actually interesting, you may hear Muslim speakers, and they might be doing their introduction, and they will repeat this dua of Musa alayhi salam. He says, قَالَ رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. And the dua continues. So the first thing that Musa alayhi salam says is, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. O my Lord, expand my chest. Which is really beautiful and really interesting. The first thing, and this is a description almost of asking Allah for confidence. But it's not, he's not saying, oh Allah, give me confidence. He's saying, oh Allah, expand my chest. Because what happens when we are not confident, when we are afraid, we cower down. We like they say, fight or flight, we fly and we cower down. So when you see somebody who is not confident, you'll see their shoulders slumped, their chest kind of rolled into, kind of like how you're sitting at this computer right now, and you're probably already in a non-confident position. So try it. Expand your chest. Expand that out. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Open my heart. Open my chest. Give me that confidence to stand tall. And subhanAllah, I always tell people that when you're talking about Islam and when you're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I had this fiqh of dawah class, always remember to expand your chest and stand tall. Because a lot of times when we're arguing with somebody or we're trying to guide them or help them, we kind of like, we get stuck in the argument and we cower down. And I've noticed that a lot of people, even if they speak falsehood, they're very confident about it. Their chest, they're the ones with the open chest. So Musa alayhi salam says, Rabbi shrah li sadri. Oh my Lord, expand your chest. Here's an interesting connection that you may not have seen, is that for the Prophet sallallahu, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, a surah that you probably memorized when you were a little kid, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, haven't we expanded your chest? SubhanAllah. So this is something that Musa alayhi salam made dua for, and Allah azza wa jal gave it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. So we'll see here in this, expand this chest, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, make my task easy for me. I was thinking about this and how, you know, some people say don't make dua for the task to be easy. Make yourself, make dua for, make dua that you become stronger. Yes, but here, you know, for those of you who wish the situation was easier, like he has you see, and you have guidance from Musa alayhi salam that he's asking Allah, oh Allah, make the situation easier. Make it easier for me to do what I've been commanded. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. So, Musa alayhi salam had a stutter. So he would stutter, and this happened, you may know the story, when he was a baby and still like breastfeeding, and his mother put him in the basket. He arrived at the gateway of the home of Fir'aun, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, found him, and she said to, you know, let him be a child for us. And Fir'aun wanted to kill him. Look at how evil and tyrannical this person is. He finds a baby, arrives at his doorstep, and he's like, let's kill it. SubhanAllah, what kind of evil person that is. And so she says, give him a test that, you know, put some jewels or put some a hot coal, and whatever he grabs, you'll know if he's a smart child. If he grabs the jewels, we know this kid is smart, then yes, you can kill him, SubhanAllah. But if he grabs for the coal, then you know he doesn't understand that much and he's not a harm for you. SubhanAllah, and the thing that would bring down Fir'aun, the person who would bring down, grew up in the house of Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam. So, Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him as a baby to grab the coal, and instead of just grabbing it, Allah guided him to throw it in his mouth. So Musa alayhi salam, as a baby, threw the coal in his mouth and burnt his tongue. And there's a really, and then he had a stutter after that. Now, if you look at Musa alayhi salam, if he spoke, people might laugh at him. People might not understand what he's saying. They're like, what are you saying? Because he's stuttering. And some of you might have like from very clear history with stuttering, and you understand what the pain of that is. But what's interesting here is, really beautiful point, is that coal, when he was a baby, saved him. It saved him, but now, as an adult, and having to go back to Fir'aun and go back to these tyrannical people and speak and guide them, this thing that protected him as a child no longer serves him. And in fact, it might be a hindrance. And so he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to untie the knot of his tongue, because it doesn't serve him anymore. He has a different task in this point in life. And I thought about, you know, so many people in their journeys, you know, in their own development, they have things that helped them before. They had things growing up that protected them and helped them. But then you get to a stage in your life where this old story and this old pain, it doesn't serve you anymore. It doesn't help you. And so you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, untie the knot. Untie the knot so that they'll understand what I'm saying. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. And something I also wanted to focus on is this statement that he says, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so that they'll understand what I'm saying. A lot of times when we approach an audience and we need to speak to them, there's this focus on us. Like, let's say I'm doing this Facebook Live, and I'm so focused on, oh, what do you think of me? What are they going to think? What am I dressed? Where am I location? This and that. There's this focus on me. But if I'm focused on me, those are like the worst videos where the speaker is focused on themselves. I remind myself when I'm doing a speech that I need to focus on the audience. It isn't about me. I don't think you really care too much about my background, this and that. You want to know the information. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm speaking to give me the power to serve you, to take care of you, and give you, inshallah ta'ala, pass on the message that I want to convey. And so Musa alayhi salam teaches us that in this dua, yafqahu qawli, so that the audience will understand. So it's not about my stutter and what they will think about me, but rather it's so that the audience will understand the message that's given to them. And one other point here about the stuttering, or sorry, about the audience speaking, a lot of times we speak and then we think that, oh, it's somebody else's responsibility to understand what we said. But that's not the case. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility to convey what you mean. Not just speak, not just put something out there and say, hey, I did my duty. You actually want this person to understand. You kind of like, you speak and then you say, do you understand? And they're like, no, okay, no problem. Let me rephrase it, al-balaghul mubin, so that you can keep coming back again and again until you speak clearly and the person has understood what you have said, conveying the meaning. All right, so I'm done. There's a final point that I just want to share with the bonus. I really love the next part of the dua. We're not going to bring it up right here, in which he says, وَجَعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي. He said, give me a helper from my family, my Musa, my brother. Harun, my brother. So I thought that was really beautiful, because sometimes when we're given a task, we think that it's all on our shoulders and we don't understand that we are a community here and we are brothers and sisters, and you don't have to do everything by yourself. You don't have to be the lone person. You can seek assistance, just like Musa alayhi salam sought assistance and help from a team, from Harun alayhi salam, who became a prophet. We also need to seek out that assistance. Wallahu alam.